Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are merging the streams between all things sports, which we've been doing for almost 30 years, 22 years here at WNST AM 1570, and now our new project at Baltimore Positive, where we're having all sorts of intelligent conversations about all sorts of things during a plague. Last time I got together, this guy and I were sort of shucking it up at a Super Bowl and having some fun, and Patriots are winning more Super Bowls and having a good time, and the Red Sox were good, and yeah, look out for the Bruins and the Celtics. Everybody but Boston College doing okay. And now we go up to New England this week, and Tom Lydon, I'm not going to feel sorry for you, although my wife on Monday morning, who does not like Tom Brady at all, said to me over coffee, I kind of felt sorry for him on Sunday night. I'm like, please don't. I felt sorry for Joe Flacco on Monday night, having to throw the ball so well in another losing effort to the Patriots, but this is the week where, like, it would be a good time for me, right? They could come up. There'll be very few people there. No traffic on Route 1. We're right. Probably going to win. But I don't know, man. This is just the weirdest time in sports, is it not? How are you, my friend?
Great. It's good to see you. And I think it was a Super Bowl that we last saw each other. It's always fun watching you work Radio Row and guest after guest coming by your spot. Always admirable. But thank you for having me on. And it is a strange time. And it's very odd when you think about how frequently we do go to games, and I know that you've gone to more games recently than I have physically. It is bizarre to be in many ways stuck in the studio because, you know, as it relates to the Patriots specifically, because, you know, Pats and Ravens are playing this week, the process to get in and get approved is not impossible, but it's very laborious. So what we decided to do at our station is basically make one reporter and one photographer go to every game. That way they knew the process, they were used to it, they didn't have to jump through hurdles and obstacles every single week, and that's how it's been. So I have not been to a Patriots game at Gillette Stadium yet this week, but I'm not alone in saying that because there's thousands of fans who also haven't gone.
Well, you know, I've been giving Luke a hard time ever since Freddie Gray here 5.5 years where he went to the game that nobody was at with the Orioles and the White Sox after the unrest here. And then this year happened, and we were given one seat in the press box, right? They give the Baltimore Sun 3. I don't know. Ask them why. But and I'm not even, like, sort of pissed about it, although I've been doing that, you know, like, so I'm like, all right, I don't miss many games. You know, my wife had cancer a few years ago twice. I missed a handful of games. But, like, over the course of 25 years, I added it up. It was 7 games when this year started. That's home and away ever in the history of the franchise. They were, like, late. I missed the Y2K game in New England on December 31st, 1999. Just to give you, I remember these things, right?
So you don't go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been a handful of a couple of wins and a couple of bad years. We played in Seattle at Christmas like 15 years ago. We were 3-12, and I just said, I'll keep the points and go to Jamaica with it or something. But so this year we had to make this decision. So I said, you know, Luke covers the team. Luke is my beat reporter. So I said, Luke, you do the home games, I'll do the road games. And I flew down to Houston, empty stadium. You know, it was okay. It was, you know, it was like, it was a little morbid, but it was like, all right, I'm a journalist. I've done all this stuff. Why not that? Then I went down to DC and you couldn't see the down and distance marker because they put you in the middle of the end zone. You can't really see the game. And then I went up to Philly and they let fans in. And some of our fans went up to Philadelphia, like, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people in there. And I thought, boy, the only thing less fun than watching this behind glass in a press box for nobody is being one of these poor people that's one of 8 people in a section that don't even have people to high five when the team actually scores. So I just thought it's not a lot of fun. And I sports is so much fun, right, bro? I mean, like, I don't know of your pathway, and maybe you should tell me how much you love sports, but everyone I've ever met as an adult, and I've been doing this, you know, 40 years now, right? And love sports, and it's the reason we do this is because we love sports. We want to be around it. We want to be around the energy and the famous guys and ask the questions and explain to people what's going on. And then there's this. I don't know what this is, but it's not fun.
Yeah, it's been really weird because, first of all, let's start with this. Haven't met Cam Newton yet. Just to put that in perspective.
I haven't met Patrick Queen yet. I haven't met Calais Campbell yet. Right, literally, right?
So there's no personal interaction. It's all done by Zoom conference, which we're getting used to. But it's just very odd because you just don't have that face-to-face that you're used to. And the other thing is that on television, everything looks relatively normal and sounds relatively normal. All you need to do is look at a shot from a camera that's at field level using the actual ambient noise. And then it makes you realize, like, oh my God, it is silent. You know, on Monday night, when Nick Folk kicks the field goal to beat the Jets, I saw the B-roll shot from the sideline of him kicking it and then the team celebrating. And it's like you're at a Pop Warner game or a high school game because there is literally no sound surrounding that event. And when you're watching on TV, at least it's pumped in, so there's a sense of normalcy. And clearly the professional sports are all television driven, so I get it. But it's just very odd. And it's something that we get used to. And I can't wait until we get a chance to return. Hopefully that'll be, you know, in 2021. I mean, who knows at this stage?
It's not even like a studio audience, because a studio audience is still an audience. I mean, I've been at the Letterman show. I've been to those things where, you know, the little sign comes up and we clap. I took my wife to see the Chew a couple of years ago before they shut it down and Bataldi got himself in trouble. But I would just say for me, I've done this a handful of times now, and last weekend I abstained just because, like, the only thing I'm really – I see the game better there. There's no doubt. I mean, I don't see the game well on television, but I'm trying to weigh – flying to Providence, driving up one to sit in an empty stadium, to wait all night to get a flight or to get a room down the road or do whatever I'm going to do. I can move my flights a little bit, which Indianapolis, they moved my flight and the flight left in the middle of the game, right? So, like, weird stuff was happening. I thought they were going to flex this game. Tom, I'm like everybody else. I mean, I'm a red-blooded American. I like my freedom, man. I like all of that, right? And I've also seen, like, the results of friends of mine losing parents to COVID and, like, crazy, crazy stuff. And I'm just trying to weigh, like, the value of sitting in an empty stadium, whether that's fun, meaningful, helps me, helps my audience, helps my mojo as a reporter, as a story, as whatever, and having chronicled this my whole life. It's the first time I ever, like, don't want to go to the game. And I've enjoyed it on TV. That's the other part of it. Like, watching with my cat between my legs on Twitter and having my wife bring me a drink and getting greasy, you know, chicken on my fingers so I can't tweet from Royal Farms, which I love. I love all of that, but I want to go back to the games, but I want to go back when it's, like, joyous and not like, I'm the only one at the game today in Houston. There were two of us in the Baltimore media in Houston 6 weeks ago. And it wasn't like I wonder what I'm doing there. I'm wondering, like, whether it's actually valuable to be there or fun. And I didn't feel like it was either one.
Well, when you're at a game, I think the main responsibility is to try to find things that people aren't seeing on television. And that's injuries, what's happened on the sideline, stuff that isn't shot in the moment, stuff that may come in a replay later. Is this person being escorted to the locker room? Is this person favoring a right knee or grabbing his left side? That's like how's the crowd interacting to whatever's happening right now? Did something just go up on the scoreboard that elicited a reaction from said crowd? But there is no crowd. So that kind of stuff that you would typically report on or give you some sort of basis to you know, for your future reports, it just doesn't exist. So I'm with you. I don't necessarily think it's worth coming up to Gillette, because when you're going to quote unquote talk to the guys after the game, you're not talking to them person anyway. You're doing it in a Zoom fashion. So you might as well do that from your living room, I suppose, and watch the broadcast and have it in HD and pumped all the sound around your living room.
I'll even make it worse than that. I ducked out of the Redskins. Oh, excuse me. I said it again. I said the R word, the Washington football game. Back in my birthday week, I live 38 miles from the stadium. I got back to my condo at 4:52 and left the game at the 2-minute warning. They said, there'll be 12 minutes after the game. I'm like, I'm getting my laptop. I'm getting out of here. I watched the Zoom interviews on 295 driving home, like literally. And if I wanted a question for Harbaugh, I could have thrown in. And I'm like, I don't have any questions on Zoom. There are no good Zoom questions. These guys look like hostages across all of sports. It looks like a hostage video, and it looks like they can't wait to get up and walk away from the camera. And it doesn't matter who they are. They look disinterested in telling whatever their story is, and I've seen that across four sports now over the last couple of months. I'm sure we'll see it at the Masters this week.
Well, let's hop into it. I mean, do you feel that the Ravens will be talking about a win or talking about a loss after Sunday night?
Well, they better win. I mean, they're the better team right now as composed. That being said, look, COVID's around. That's the other thing about COVID, right? Like, I'm liable to fly up to Providence, and at 3 o'clock, they bang the game because, like, 12 guys pee dirty, right? Like, so there's that's going on every week. Last week here, Ronnie Stanley breaks a left ankle. We lose to the Steelers. The next day, Marlon Humphrey pops positive on COVID. They gave Stanley $100 million on Friday. They gave Humphrey $100 million the week before. And you know, they're going to have to go play. And that's what the league's going to be. I'm a little worried that this thing, and part of this is seeing the Patriots this week. I've been kidding around about the Eddie Fainer softball all-stars, you know, sort of, that's what I thought baseball felt like to me. It felt like an exhibition. It didn't feel like a real season. I hope football doesn't devolve, I should say, into that, because, you know, part of me coming up seeing the Patriots is this feels like a shell of what they are. It feels like something out of The Replacements. I'm waiting for Shane Falco to run out or something, you know?
I Will Survive will be the soundtrack in Gillette Stadium. Listen, they won. The Jets are 0-9. I get it. But they haven't been blown out in every game. And the Jets did what the Jets do in Monday night's game. They blew it in the fourth quarter. You talked about how good Joe Flacco was. He was awful in the fourth quarter. They ran four plays. So, you know, listen, the Patriots needed a win. And no matter who it was against, they needed a win. And to do it in the fashion that they did it, scoring 13 points, was encouraging because it injects that little confidence. But clearly, different barometer this week. If you go back to even last year when the Patriots were undefeated when they played Baltimore, the Ravens just pounded them up and down the field. And I would think that that's going to be the game plan again, because the Patriots defense has not really shown, except for in crunch time every now and again, that it can make a key stop. So I envision that the Ravens are going to pound the ball. I envision that Jackson's going to have a huge game, and I envision that the Ravens are going to win. But I think that the Patriots are going to enter this game with a little bit more positivity and a little bit more confidence than they had going into even the Jets game, because they hadn't won since September. So at least it gives the primetime Sunday night game a little extra juice, because going into the Monday night game, everyone's like, oh my God, these two teams, why are we watching them in primetime? But at least now Sunday's game has a little bit more marquee associated with it.
They flexed that thing into 1 or 4 o'clock. I'm telling you, I would have made a run just for the chowder. I would have done it. Tom Lydon joining us here. Here's a Boston 25 News. That's WFXT. You can find him out on Twitter. I find him every year at the Super Bowl. He gets a junket. You know, Tampa, Houston, you know, sexy places like Jacksonville. Well, maybe not so there. But you've been doing this a long time. When did you come onto the circuit with Boston sports? Because your thing's so much more active because there's so much more going on up there.
Yeah. Okay. So my quick history is that I've been in sports for 27 years. I spent 4 years at the NFL. I spent 2 years at the NHL. Then I just quit cold turkey, went into television, spent 4 years in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And then in 2004, moved to Detroit, where I spent 11 years covering what's an amazing sports city. You're talking about 8 major sports franchises, because you got Michigan and Michigan State, who are both good at football and basketball. You got the Lions, Pistons, Red Wings, and who am I missing? Tigers. And all the
hockey town, baby, hockey town.
Well, the Red Wings were my favorite team to cover all time. And luckily, they won a Stanley Cup and went to another Stanley Cup final during the time that I was there.
Scotty, beam me up, Scotty, beam me up.
Phenomenal experience. But then I came back to Boston. When I say back to Boston, it's because I went to BC, who got a big game this week against Notre Dame. Let's go beat the Irish. And it's been phenomenal.
Half my wife's family went to BC. So I hear I get that. Yeah. We got out of the ACC. We exited that. Everybody in the Midwest hates us now. So it's,
I understand. But Maryland to the Big Ten should never have happened. But that's a discussion for another day. I've been here for 6 years. Love it. Had the great fortune of going to 3 Super Bowls and a World Series and a Stanley Cup final already.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I bring like Shaughnessy on this week. He talks about the Celtics and then everything that happened in between. Same thing with Ryan, right? But like, there has been an unbelievable spoil of riches over the last 2 decades for anybody. Like, I married my wife in 03. She's from Manchester, New Hampshire, where they went blue. And, you know, I brought her down here in 03. She missed out on all of it. You know, like literally all of her family, all of her, but not missed out. I mean, she's been in a bunch of these Super Bowls with her sister and various things, but there's been so much fun to be had. I always wondered what the aftermath would be. I didn't think it would be a plague and Tom Brady running around in pewter and, you know, Gronkowski going with him and him recruiting it, you know, like, the soap opera part of this is fascinating, but what happens on Sunday night when I hear, and, you know, Brady doesn't run out to save them? There's a little part of me that just wants to come for the chowder the more I talk to you. I mean, that really turns me on to think about going up there and having it be empty and the seats being cold and everybody miserable and maybe Lamar runs all over them. But there's also a part of me that, like, I've said this to a lot of people, Tom. If the Stones were to come back right now and you and I could have them play our living room, it sounds awesome, but it sounds so much better if there were actually people there.
Sure.
And that would be the whole weirdness of the experience of doing a Ravens Patriot game. It's already weird enough that your team's no good and it's sort of a replacements kind of a team. And yet, I don't know what people expect, what happens after a legend leaves, because it's not easy to sort of hold it together.
Well, I'm going to drop this story on you because I think it's appropriate for the situation that Patriots fans are in. There's a certain sense, there's a lack of closure. And I'm going to go back to one of my favorite interviews I ever did was with Jerry Kramer. And we were talking about the 1960s Packers. And Jerry Kramer was telling me a story of the year that they did not go to the Super Bowl, which would have been Super Bowl III. So we're going way, way, way back. But they had had a huge run through the 60s. And they were still alive in the playoff chase. And it was December, and they were playing a really important game. And it was third down and 20, or whatever it might have been, fourth down and 20. They basically had one more play to keep their season alive. And they didn't make the play. And so the team is walking off the field, and all of a sudden, they heard the crowd cheering. And the players looking around like, what the hell are these people cheering for? And then it dawned on Jerry and the rest of the players, they were saying thank you. They were saying thank you for a decade of dominance, because they knew that it was over and they at least had that opportunity to say thanks to the team. And I think that the Patriots fans here were kind of left in a lurch. Like, is Tom coming back? Is Tom not coming back? Should we say thanks? Should we say farewell? Should we wish him well? What does all this mean for our future? And then they don't even have a chance to get back into the stadium yet. And you have this belief that, you know, we're still the big bad Patriots. And here we are 3-5. And this is not what we're used to. And we didn't really appropriately close the cover of the book on the previous book. So it's a strange, strange dynamic, specifically as it relates to football.
Will that ever be understood? Brady running down to Tampa and running around. Like, there's a little...
There's
some weirdness, there's some intrigue. Obviously, if you're a fan, you want to know. I mean, I know how Joe Flacco wound up in the Jets helmet the other night, and I wrote the book about him a couple of years ago, right? So, but with Tom Brady, this was optional at the very least. And, you know, we could talk about Johnny U going to San Diego and all the godforsaken, you know, Burt Jones in L.A. Pick anybody you want. Any set, Brett Favre running around in a Jets helmet. How about that? But I didn't do a bad job, but, you know, but not as good as the Vikings, but I would say for him, I'm perplexed by it, just from a humanity standpoint, I am.
It had run its course. You have really three strong personalities in Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. And the fact that they were able to keep it together for two decades, Tom's done. You know, he's done. I can't say that you can blame any person after 20 years to look in the mirror and say, like, I have accomplished everything I want to accomplish here, and I've done it in a manner, perhaps, that I didn't necessarily want to do it. So with the time I have left, I'm going to go to where it's nice and warm. I'm going to go do things the way I want to do things and cap off my career in the NFL the way I want to cap off my career. I was not surprised that he made that call. I felt that he was probably going to go to the Chargers. I had my money on him going to the Chargers. I thought that made sense with the new stadium. And they were a team that looked as though they were going to be able to make that jump. And they might have made that jump had he gone there. But when the Bucks were all in and they gave him the money, it was weird. He does look a little strange in the uniform. People here watch like you wouldn't believe. The ratings for Buccaneers games are through the roof whenever they're on television. I didn't look at the ones after the 38-3 loss on Sunday night, but I'm sure they were still very good through at least the first half. So there's a lot of passion. And for me personally,
these are the people that took on Ray Bourque, for crying out loud, in Colorado, right? Like, literally, right?
Understand.
It's a little hockey reference there for you.
I think the drama as it relates to the NFL is pretty cool.
They still play baseball, right? I mean, I remember all these years. My last name's still Aparicio. You and I would get together. I'd get together half of Boston six times a year. And, you know, we had a couple of years we were okay recently. Most of it's been welcoming my wife's relatives into this room to sleep on the cot, you know, back in the day, to go to Camden Yards, have some boogs. So baseball, I don't even know what to say, because I sort of stopped watching. I thought it was very Eddie Fainer. And then there's the time when you do watch, you don't recognize the players, the alignments, the game, the absolute outcomes. We stink, obviously. They're not very good in Boston, but sort of the falling of grace of baseball or of the sport, and not being able to go and interact and have a beer and have a hot dog and be out there. I hope all that comes back next year. I am wondering, in my own market, and Tom, I've talked about this at length, but we're in the final year of a 30-year lease here with the Orioles. They become a little bit weird and lame duck, and no one really knows where the owner is. kind of like, Mike Pence. We don't know where he is anymore. But we can't find Angelos. And all the weirdness of not selling tickets and the Nationals being the standing world champs last year, we have real long-term issues here about how they're going to solve it, because it can only be solved with interest and money and people caring about it. My impression is in Boston, it's sort of falling a little bit for the first time in this generation. And I've seen that happen with the football team here, that when people sort of get out of the habit of going a little bit, even to the Red Sox games, for the amount of money it costs to go to a Red Sox game, it was never cheap. That when people get that bill next year and say, do I want to go see the Twins play on a Tuesday night? How much are the tickets? What am I getting? I'm worried about all of sports, but I'm really worried about baseball. And if baseball doesn't work in places like Boston, if it's not a big deal in Boston, I'm worried about it.
Well, I think it will be. I think Fenway will fill up. I think the biggest issue is when that might be, because you have a team that's coming off their worst season in decades that has the opportunity to add a bunch of talent and add a bunch of money to the payroll. But where's that money coming from? And that's the issue, because you got a franchise that's literally laying off 40% of its employees over the course of the last 4 or 5 months. For what purpose? Are they going to take money and spend it on players? If so, how big are those contracts going to be? So,
well, they're shutting down the minor leagues too, which is really, where I live and where you live, going out and seeing a game. My wife's up in Manchester. Do you go up there and have a beer, next to the highway? People love that. Love it.
Yeah, that experience is unique. And I think obviously the Fenway experience is extra unique. So that does have a certain appeal to it that will get people who are even passive baseball fans into the ballpark. I've never been on the baseball is dead bandwagon, because I just keep seeing these salaries go up, up and up, and the television contract go up, up and up. So until that day where they have to cut the NHL revenue sharing television deal, I'm not going to say that baseball is dead, because so far, so good, but now they're faced with a major issue of how they're going to get these younger fans. Are the younger fans going to be on board with strikeout, home run, shift, starter, closer, opener, all the rest of that stuff that we're getting used to over these last few years? It was a difficult World Series to hop onto, because you're like, wait, who's pitching? For how long? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, they're playing the game completely differently. Forget my father, who's been dead 28 years, coming back and recognizing it, right? Like, if you haven't watched the game in a couple, 3-4 years, because your team's been under a rock and you sort of come back to life a little bit, I mean, these modern day Astros fans, I mean, they don't recognize the old game, right? Like, I would just say the way it's played right now is a different kind of taste than what I grew up on, right? It's just all parts of it. Keeping score and talking about box scores the next day and pitching changes and sort of the ebb and flow of the things you love about baseball. Soap opera all summer long, but you have to have a dog in the hunt. And when you're rebuilding, you're really just sort of selling out your fans. We don't call it that in the media, but that's what it is. You're serving a minor league product for major league prices. That's a very difficult thing to do after this plague, I think.
Well, that was at least the one positive of 2020 for the Red Sox, is that they did it to an empty ballpark, and they didn't subject fans to spending a bunch of money to watch what they delivered.
Tom Lydon has been doing it up in Boston a long time. He's at 25 News up there. You can follow him out on Twitter. That's Leyden. Dude, I hope to see you somewhere. A Super Bowl game is played sometime soon. Not because the Patriots are there, but I guess that's the reason you'd be there. But I hope we get back to normal things and seeing people we run into in this business and friendships and relationships and players and memories and stories. And, even the 8 hours back after the Cundiff miss and, the Lee Evans drop that was made up for by the 8 hours back after, the route. I mean, good times and bad times, wins and losses. I mean, that's what makes this thing fun. And this little period, I think, will make us all at least appreciate, like, when it comes back and we get to do fun things again, right?
No question about that. I appreciate you having me on. Please say hello to your wife. I hope she's doing well.
She's awesome. She's great. Well, good. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Stay safe up there, all right? We'll get you back down here to Camden Yards. I'm looking forward to a Fenway Frank somewhere along the line, all right?
That was good. Keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Tom Lydon joining us here from Boston up at 25 News, and he is at WFXT. And you can find him at Tom Lydon out on Twitter. And he's got a great – that's Dodger Stadium there. I see on the – it's amazing. All you have to do is see the background and the fans, yeah. And I know where the picture was taken. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com finds me. We have merged the streams from all things sports at WNST to Baltimore Positive, putting it all into one place, including our podcast, which you can subscribe to now individually. You can listen live. Lots of ways to get your WNST. We are BaltimorePositive.com.